Our call to worship are these fitting words from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. Congregation, the God who came to us at Bethlehem is also here in this place by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he greets us, saying, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from Christ his Son, through the mighty and powerful work of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to our Vesper worship service at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church, our annual carol sing, the one night a year where we dress down a little bit and maybe let our hair down and sing some beautiful music that celebrates our Lord coming to us at Bethlehem. You've already heard the gifts of these, I think it's 60, is that right? 60 musicians that we've got up here on stage. I know Larry and Rob have worked very, very hard to make these arrangements. They sound wonderful. We're so grateful for all of you for your gifts. After we've enjoyed this music and sung these carols, there's refreshments afterwards in our multipurpose room, which is down the hall and to the right. Should be plenty. They're all homemade. They were solicited by for various members of the congregation, so they should be extra yummy. We hope that many of you will join us and eat and have fellowship together. Before we continue singing, I want to explain a little bit of the thought or the structure behind tonight's program. And to do that, I want to read just a few verses from Psalm 98, which is actually a psalm that we'll hear a little bit more from later. Here's what Psalm 98 says, verses 1 through 6. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. So Psalm 98 is, a perfect psalm to talk about what we're doing here tonight. First of all, because it obviously calls us to sing, and it calls us to use many instruments when we sing, which is obviously what we're doing here. But Psalm 98 also talks about the occasion for singing. And this is the occasion that you see throughout the book of Psalms. Most of the psalms are written at moments of religious impulse, and especially acts of salvation, events of God's great faithfulness. What would happen is God would do something, the psalmist would write down his response to that something, and they would have a hymn, a song that would be passed down from generation to generation so that the mighty acts of God would be remembered. The Christmas carols that we're going to sing are exactly the same thing. Every one of these carols that we love singing has a story behind it. And so there was some moment of inspiration, some moment of need, some moment of crisis, and the Holy Spirit moved in the heart of whoever wrote this carol, and the good news of the gospel of Christ coming at Christmas time was just the news that was needed for that moment of inspiration or that moment of need. And now we have this carol that from generation to generation passes on the good news of Jesus Christ. So tonight, before each of these carols that we'll sing, we'll briefly hear the story behind the song, and it's our hope that when you hear that story, it will deepen your enjoyment, deepen the meaning of these words and of the good news of the gospel. Let's hear the first story from Jeff.
In 1865, right after the Civil War ended, Philip Brooks, an Episcopal priest from Philadelphia, went on a visit to Israel. On Christmas Eve, he climbed the hills around Bethlehem and looked down on the little town lying still and small and quiet in the valley below. The gentle silence of the little town where Christ came seemed such a contrast to the noise and stress of the war-weary country he called home. It moved him to think that the hopes and fears of all the years were given silently in so small a town. He wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem that night. The hymn ends with a commitment, a hungry prayer from all of us weary wanderers and fearful folk, that Christ will come to our tired hearts and abide with us forever. Let's sing.
Away in a Manger is one of the American carols in this group. People used to say that Martin Luther wrote it, and they even called it Luther's Cradle Carol. That was wrong. The words were written by an unknown person in Philadelphia. The carol sings like a lullaby. It's simple and childlike, but its simplicity appeals to adults as well as children. Especially beloved is the last stanza, a humble prayer that speaks to the hearts of 5-year-olds, 95-year-olds, and everyone in between. Let us sing.
It may shock all of us LaGrave members to know that Silent Night, one of our favorite traditional carols, was written for and played first on a guitar. Yep, a guitar. Don't worry, there were no drum set, there was no big screen. On Christmas Eve, 1818, a church's musician's worst nightmare came true. The organ at St. Nicholas's Church in Oberndorf, Austria, broke down. Just for the record, if that had happened at LaGrave, it would be enough to send Reverend Yonker and Dr. Visser into blind panic. But fortunately, the parish priest and the organist at St. Nicholas's were made of calmer stuff. The priest, Joseph Moore, wrote some words, and the parish organist, Franz Gruber, wrote a tune. And that night, that very night, the hymn Stille Nacht, or Silent Night, was played for the first time. It was at a midnight service on a guitar. Now, almost 200 years later, we still enjoy its quiet reverence and its heavenly peace. Let's sing.
Thank you. written by an insurance salesman. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think I'm sitting by one. In 1865, William Chatterton Dix was selling insurance in England when he fell into a serious illness. The illness caused him to re-examine his life and led him to a spiritual renewal. Dix started writing hymns, including this beloved Christmas carol set to the English folk tune Greensleeves. What Child Is This is one of the only Christmas carols to mention the cross. It makes a strong connection between the sacrifice of Jesus' birth and the sacrifice of Jesus' death. Dix's passion for hymn writing didn't stop with What Child Is This. He wrote many others, including Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, and As With Gladness, Men of Old, both of which are in our new hymnal. Let's sing.
"The Holly and the Ivy" is an old English carol. It draws its imagery from a common English plant. The holly bush is a common sight in English gardens, and it is a notable plant because it stays green throughout the English winter. This makes it a symbol of hope in a time of cold and darkness. The holly has a bright red berry, which became a symbol of Christ's blood. And the holly leaves also have a sharp point, which became a symbol of the crown of thorns. This imagery makes the holly and the ivy another Christmas carol that references Jesus' death. Let's sing.
Isaac Watts wrote some pretty great hymns. "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, when I survey the wondrous cross, O God, our help in ages past." But "Joy to the World" might be the most beloved of all his songs. Maybe you didn't know this, but "Joy to the World" is a setting of Psalm 98. Psalm 98 has that famous image of the rivers clapping their hands and mountains singing for joy when they recognize the coming of their Lord. Watts saw the psalm fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Heaven and nature sing when they see Christ come, because they know that he will remove the curse so that no more will thorns infest the ground. It's a Christmas carol for nature lovers. Let's sing.
Thank you. Angels We Have Heard on High is one of our most joyful carols. It's also one of the only reasons we children know any Latin at all. It's based on an old French carol which was translated into English by James Chadwick in 1862. Fortunately, Mr. Chadwick chose to keep in some of the angels in Latin, so now all our children know how to say "Glory to God in the highest" in that ancient tongue. The refrain is a musical cascade that evokes the joy of angels. Let's sing.
Go Tell It on the Mountain is one of our favorite carols, and it's beloved by children and adults alike. Nobody really knows who wrote it, but we know that it originated during the tradition of African-American spirituals, which means it goes all the way back to the time of slavery and probably before the Civil War. And like many songs from that genre, it was not originally written down, but it was passed down through oral tradition from simply hearing it sung. The first person to write the carol down was a man named John Wesley Work, who was a black professor at Fisk College in Nashville, Tennessee, So he wrote it down in 1871, and then he and a choir from Fisk College toured all over the United States, and it was that choir tour and the singing of this carol on that choir tour that popularized that song. Go Tell It on the Mountain was also popular during the Civil Rights Movement, and when it was sung then, people saw it as Jesus coming as a sign of their freedom, a promise for release for the prisoners. Let's sing. Let's gather our hearts in prayer. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to praise your name and sing your songs tonight. Thank you for all the gifts represented in this evening of song. We thank you for the gifts of these musicians in this orchestra and for the gifts of Rob and Larry in leading it. Father, music always gives us pleasure, but at Christmas it gives us a special kind of joy. So we praise you for these songs. We thank you for gifted men and women who wrote beautiful music, give words to the hope that is in our hearts. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, your Son gave up so much to come to us, and he gave up even more when he died for us. We thank you for his Christmas rescue mission, a mission which is pure grace, which we did not earn, and in which is all our hope. I pray, Lord, that the joy and hope of Christmas may be available to the whole world tonight. This world is a place of sadness and division, and sometimes our hearts are full of sadness and division. So let the good news of Christmas shine as a light against all that darkness. And I pray especially tonight for those who'll be spending Christmas after a year of difficult loss. I pray for those who'll be spending their first Christmas without someone who's very dear to them. I pray for those who will spend a Christmas weighted with family tension or even family estrangement. I pray for all those whose Christmas is tinged with loneliness. May the light of the world pierce even the depth of that darkness. And may the songs of the season bring us joy, even if sometimes, Lord, our joy is sung through our tears. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. We pray all these prayers in your name. Amen. Just a reminder, there are treats in the NPR down the hall and to the right after the service. And will you please join me in giving our thanks to this wonderful orchestra? Now go from this place with the blessing of your God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you, smile upon you, and fill you with his peace, both now and forevermore.